I'm Brad Taylor, and this is my writer's dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
Brad Taylor, 20 missions, 20 novels. You have a giveaway going on right now to win all your books. How do people get into that?
Actually, if you go to my website or Facebook page, there's links there that you can join the contest itself. In fact, I literally just signed them all in my living room. In fact, just took them to they're getting shipped back to my publisher. Whoever wins it then goes to them.
Well, that is a screaming deal, man. There's got to be piles of books everywhere. 20 books. Man, one of my favorites, Daughter of War. Just, I know I've told you that before, but you are up to some amazing work right now. And I know you plan long time ahead before the book comes out, and you do your research trips well before the book comes out. But this right here, folks watching on YouTube, I'm holding up a picture of Shadow Strike by Brad Taylor. He's joining us here in the writer's dossier today. And Brad, this right here, I found that this was so significant, you couldn't have timed it any better. I mean, I want you to tell everyone what Pike, Jennifer, and the task force is up to in Shadow Strike, but I've got a spoiler alert. I mean, folks, this thing is ripped from the headlines. We're in the middle of it right now. So what have you got for everyone today, Brad?
Yeah, it's actually more than ripped from the headline. So the idea from it came when after Hamas attack on October 7th, I still do a lot of keep my finger in the pot of what's going around in the world. And everybody started looking at, you know, Hamas attack. Now they're going to hit Hezbollah. What kind of threat is Hezbollah? I started doing a deep dive into that. And it turns out that the largest majority of Hezbollah outside of Lebanon is in the tri-border region, the triple frontier down in South America. And so that picked my interest up. I knew about the 94 bombing of the Mutual Aid Society down there in Buenos Aires, which Hezbollah had done. And so I started doing some research on that. And that kind of started the plot going forward. Well, the original ending of this thing was basically Midnight Hammer. So I'm just as I'm finishing the book, Israel attacks. We do Midnight Hammer. We blister all their missiles and all that kind of stuff. And I call my publisher. I'm like, well, I kind of ruined my book, so I had to do a significant amount of rewrites. It wasn't that, it's kind of like when I told my publisher, she was in a panic and saying, you know, we're all doomed. I said, not really. This is, it's kind of like if I wrote a story about the hunt for Bigfoot, and the entire story is this giant hunt, and then at the very end, you find out that Bigfoot doesn't exist. So then you say, well, what in my case, I'd have to say, well, I just need a different animal. I can't hunt Bigfoot because he's mythological and I thought he was real. Let me change the animal. And the rest of the book still works. And so that's basically what I did. And then this new round of fighting happened. I called my publisher and I said, you know what? These guys had waited a month. I'd look like Nostradamus.
Dude, so how long did all of the rewrites take? I mean, normally you have a well-oiled process. And I want to talk about that a little bit, about where you were with One Rough Man to now, how that process has changed. But with this, you've got it down. I mean, you're like clockwork. And so how much did this screw up your up-tempo and you have to put into what you're doing next?
It doesn't really put anything off. It just kind of compresses things. Because when I finish a book, I don't immediately jump into the next one. I need some decompression time as it is. It took my vacation time away basically before starting the next book. But the rewrites were significant, but it actually made the book a whole lot better. I had to do more research. Obviously you've read the book, the uranium that everybody's talking about now is in the book. And so that ends up being kind of the bad guy, since it couldn't be ballistic missiles because we'd taken them all out. It took about I missed deadline by about a month. So I had to go for another month and do the rewrites and get it back in.
Not bad. I mentioned One Rough Man to Shadow Strike. I remember you telling the story of when you first sat down to write One Rough Man and your wife went out to dinner with some girls. She came back and you had a page and like, I think I can do this. How has your process changed from then till now?
It's gotten more efficient, I think, is the main thing. Just like anything else, playing baseball, riding a bike or whatever, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. Whereas before I would have to do enormous amounts of rewrites. I get a draft that was just horrible. Now I know, before I start writing something, one thing I've learned is just to trust yourself. Instead of forcing yourself to write something on the page because you feel like you haven't done anything in a while, invariably that ends up getting deleted. I end up hating it. So I kind of just sit there and say, okay, just let it come. And then you start panicking. You're like, nothing's coming. I got to put something down. But it always ends up working out. Something comes out, and so it ends up working out. So I'd say the biggest thing has changed. I'm more efficient.
Okay. Well, that's a good piece of advice for everyone out there, especially young writers, people looking to break in. Trust your gut, and don't push it too hard. So Shadow Strike, April 21st, tour kicks off at the Isle of Palms at the Windjammer, a place I've been to. I was a cop down there. Isle of Palms off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina. Great place. You're going to Atlanta, Houston, Orange County, California. There are bookstores, libraries all around. 9 full stops. Folks, get on that ticket. You'll be at a Barnes & Noble in the Villages, Florida. Now, Brad, I got to ask, do you have any retirement readership down there?
Is this your niche, or
are you looking for a new place to move?
No, as a matter of fact, the only people I know in the village is my old sergeant major moved in there. And so we were all making fun of him because he was like, I got nowhere else to go. So he went there, and I just texted him, in fact, last night and said, hey, I'm coming to the Villages.
He's the Villages. Those commercials just get stuck in my head, that jingle, they've got it down. So folks, that's part of the tour. Like I said, follow Brad Taylor. Get to know him on Facebook. You can go for the contest there. X everywhere, and you'll see the posters of everywhere he's going to be. Win, definitely go and see him. Now, you are quite a family man, and your daughter didn't take any water with her when she did the Cooper River Bridge run. I found this hilarious. When you asked her if she'd taken any water, she said no. And you asked her, well, what's in your fanny pack? And she said, what did she say?
Fireball shots. I got some fireball shots. I'm like, all right, you go, girl.
She obviously wasn't
doing the race to win it, but she did finish it. So
you've raised an awesome daughter too, in fact. But do you have any bourbon traditions for you when it comes to finishing a book or any particular milestones? I don't know, at the end of the tour, we've talked bourbon before in the past. Do you have anything like that for you?
No, not really. It seems like the last few books, especially like this last one, the finish was instead of, building to a crescendo and saying, I'm done, I built to a crescendo and said, holy crap, this whole thing's got to be rewritten. And by the time you finished it, it was just kind of like, get that thing out of here. And we'd already had stuff planned, it was already encroaching on trips we'd had planned, other events we had planned. And so when it was done, it was kind of like, starting on the next thing. I got to, I've already committed, so I've got to do something else.
Well, you are busy, that's for sure. You go to a lot of places. Last time I saw you was at Nashville at the dinner that Mystery Mike and George Easter put on at New Orleans. And you are a big supporter of the writers community. You get involved. I mean, physically, you do a lot on social media. You help people out. You've helped me, and I'm grateful for that. You've also helped people like Matthew Quirk just by putting out information about his new book, The Method. I just talked to Matt on Monday. Other people like Ward Larson, you help promote. Mark Greeny, of course. Yeah, they're all great dudes. Is there anyone out there right now who we're missing, who's a great writer, putting out some good stuff, but hasn't completely taken off yet?
Honestly, I would say Ward Larson's one of them. I mean, he's really taken off because he's writing with Brad Thor now, but he's got his own string of books, and they're really good books.
Yeah, David Slanton. They are. And you mentioned Brad Thor. Folks, I'm going to say it again, Shadow Strike. Brad Taylor absolutely crushes it right here, Battle of the Brads, on the front cover of Shadow Strike. That's high praise from Brad Thor, too. So something about you, Brad. You support the Special Operations Warrior Foundation through book events, as well as you do other book charity events in New York City and South Carolina. You've hosted Joseph Fender, Robert Trace, Mark Greeny, other people down there. What else do you have coming up after this book tour along those lines of how you help other people?
Yeah, I'm an ambassador for Special Operations Warrior Foundation, which is a charity that provides cradle-to-career support for any of the children. It's kind of a niche thing. There's a lot of Wounded Warrior things out there for the actual service member. They provide cradle career services all the way up through college, from preschool to college, gives them an education for anybody whose father is killed in the line of duty, basically killed in action from special operations. That's soldier, sailor, airman, marine, any of them. And we're doing our next Joint Forces Charleston style. It's a charity event here, which, believe it or not, the author coming so far, we've got one author is probably shouldn't announce it. They have a big author coming.
Break news on the dossier here. Now, those are always great. They're always big names in addition to you, and just the fact that you're giving back like that in a real good way, that means a lot.
Yeah, they get bigger every year. The first year we did it, it was called Thrills and Chills because we did it during October, And it's gotten bigger and bigger. And the big event that Special Operations Warrior Foundation does is Joint Force in Texas style. So we said, hey, we want to piggyback on that theme. So ours is Joint Force Charleston style. You know, the CEO will be down here from Special Operations Warrior Foundation. We'll have some of the kids here who were helped through college and are now in the military or whatever they're doing in their life. And we'll have a bevy of big name authors.
That is some good stuff. So I love it. Hey, back to the book a little bit, Pike Logan operates under the cover of JRS. This is a Grow Your Recovery Services, and you've got some swag to go along with that. Maybe some people get their hands on that stuff. Your motto for JRS is, let us do evil so good may come.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a do the ends justify the means kind of thing. Philosophically, yeah. Brad, how does this square up with some of the military ethics courses you've taught at the Citadel? And how important is it to keep the moral high ground in battle when you're in the fight for your life?
Well, I'll be honest with you, that that kind of transcends everything we do, not only in national security, obviously national security, but throughout our life, really. I mean, there's two schools of thought, really, philosophical schools of thought, that Immanuel Kant has what he called categorical imperatives, that some things are morally just and some things are morally unjust just by the act itself. It's either you do it or you don't. Doesn't matter what happens. And then John Stuart Mill's had utilitarianism, which was what we would know as a greater good. So it's not the act itself that's moral. It's the outcome of the act. If you do something and the outcome is moral, then the act itself is moral. And you see that throughout everything we do. For the military academies, I taught Citadel, a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal. That's a categorical imperative. It nowhere in there to say you can steal a loaf of bread if it'll keep a baby from dying. You just won't steal. We will never, ever torture. That's a categorical imperative in law, land, warfare. You will not torture. Now, if you tell somebody, well, you know, there's a bomb going off in New York City. If I torture that guy, I can save 10 million people. Well, now you've stepped into the greater good. And that kind of duality happens in everyday life. Abortion's another one. Abortion, you will never, ever have an abortion, ever, ever, ever. That's a categorical imperative, unless the mother's life's at stake. Well, now you've entered into the greater good. And so that kind of theme threads throughout everything in national security.
You have done a lot lately. Well, not a lot lately, but you are consistent over a period of time with sharing your opinions and analysis, which I'll just throw out there, in my opinion, has been spot on a lot of things as it with regard to everything from all the way to Midnight Hammer to the Israeli attack from Hezbollah last year to now. And again, you are a thinking man's writer, in my opinion, based on how I've gotten to know you through some of those videos that you've done. So keep those up. You're the real deal when it comes to offering an opinion. And I know you have a history of, you know, blogging and commenting publicly on national security issues, which I think is important. It shows that it backs up this. I'm holding up the book, folks. It's the legitimacy of you being able to write something like this is based a lot on not only your prior experience as a special forces operator, but also your philosophical and ethical knowledge that you have. So thank you for sharing that for everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I usually do that when, you know, something comes up and it's usually it just starts aggravating me because the news all deals in sound bites, and sound bites are not the answer. There's anybody can have a sound bite for anything. And so eventually I'll just get grumpy enough to, I used to just write blogs and now I actually do videos. So
no, I like the videos, you know, and you got to spend 20 minutes because you take the time to lay in the context. Not just a headline. And once you understand that context, if people take the time to figure things out, what has happened in the past affects our present and our future, you do that. And I like it a lot. So you've had already one research trip for your next novel. You showed some pictures. I think you and Elaine were on a helicopter or something, which, by the way, I'm holding it up again. There's a really cool red helicopter on the cover of Shadowstruck, everybody.
That's the helicopter we were on. That's the reason. They put a helicopter on the cover, and I was like, nah, that helicopter won't work. It's a Robinson. And so I sent them the pictures, and they went to a Robinson.
Nice. Your research is so fun, and I'm glad that you document it for the rest of us. What kind of plans do you have next for Pike, Jennifer, and the task force?
Well, I'm writing the next book right now, book 21, and we went to Japan. So we went running around all over Japan and South Korea up to the DMZ.
Yeah, what did you do, like 10 miles on foot one day?
Something that lady smoked us. And I was like, we don't have to see everything. The last place we stopped, she said, okay, our last stop, it's about a 30-minute walk, or we could take a taxi. And I'm like, what do you think I want to do?
Dial up that Uber. Absolutely. No, I'm really excited for that. Spent a year in South Korea myself, and it's a wonderful part of the world that it's still opening up. And who knows, maybe next year you might be Nostradamus on that. That one depends on what happens in the next time. I hope not. All right. Well, Brad Taylor, thanks so much for joining us here on the Writer's Dossier. It is always good to see you and talk to you. Keep knocking it out. And we can't wait for the tour for Shadow Strike and for everyone to get their hands on this. So thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. If they go to my website at bradtaylorbooks.com, they can read excerpts of this book or any book.
I get so excited. I get so excited about your books. I totally left that out. BradTaylorBooks.com, folks. That's where you need to go. That'll be in the show notes along with some other little bits and pieces from this episode. So thanks. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.